Welcome to another edition, a midsummer edition of Ice to Shorts Winter Sports from Green Legion Radio. This is Diaz, Philly Mike. I'm here with Sackmaster Reggie Hoo-ha-ha, big time Chris Sack. Sack, we haven't talked, you and me, on this portion of our Green Legion Radio family show in about a month, and there was some lot of Flyers movement, Sixers, Ben Simmons trade, NBA draft talk is this week. Free agency starts next week, so we got a lot to talk about. But first, we'd like to welcome everybody who is following along on our YouTube channel or Facebook Live or Twitter. We appreciate you. If you're listening to the replay later on tomorrow or this week on the iHeartRadio app or iTunes or SoundCloud or Google Play or Stitcher, wherever you listen to, Spotify, we appreciate you too. Please subscribe, like, download, rate, review. We appreciate all of it. Real quick, we'd like to talk about our sponsors at the top of the show. Of course, Bud Light. Bud Light is providing us with a wide array of beer and seltzer products this year at the tailgates, at the Bud Light Baseball Brunch tailgates that Sack had last week. I was on vacation. I couldn't make it, but I will be at the next one. I hear we might have a special surprise, so people are going to have to wait around for that. We're not going to reveal it on this show. But of course, Bud Light, Stateside Vodka, longtime friends of the program, MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Check out Greg over there. He can give you a free estimate. Send his guys over. They do great work. Sack had them over at his place, as well. City Fitness, all the City Fitness locations in the city run by our friend Ken Davies. If you live across the bridge, Echelon Health and Fitness. All the Cavs family of restaurants, Cavs Rittenhouse, University City, Cavs Riverdeck is in full swing right now. Of course, Nexip, the safest way to drink hands-free. The lovely ladies at Delilah's. Bucks County Baseball Company, J.P. Lutz, my old Drexel buddy. I actually had a conversation with him today. He will be at our tailgates this Eagles season. But check out BucksCountyBaseballCo.com. BucksCountyBaseballCo.com. The showroom is in downtown historic Bristol, Pennsylvania, but the website is 10 times bigger than the showroom. The new KOP Diner right there between Henderson Road and 202, the Cherry Hill Triplex, and our new home for Green Legion Radio Thursday night's player show during this Eagle season, The Fin, opening up hopefully by September 1st, according to Jeff, but we'll see how that goes. So, Sack, man, I was on vacation, and I guess that's when the Flyers decide that that's when they want to get super active here. You know, disappointing last few years. This has been am I wrong? Is this the biggest changeup in the last 5 years of the Flyers, or is it just because it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even today they're still making moves? Before we break down each individual player and trade and movement, what's your overall thought in this? What do you think it says about the team that they have already and the general outlook before we break down each player for next season?
This has been the craziest offseason the Flyers have had in 10 years since they traded away Richards, Carter. They brought in Brzgalov. This is the most.
Don't remind me about.
Well, I know that move didn't pay off. And actually, he is our Bobby Bonilla. We're going to be paying him for quite some time. Not as long as the Mets are paying Bonilla, though. So let's just make sure we face facts with facts. But yeah, listen, everybody knew that Chuck Fletcher had to make moves, and we've ridden on Chuck the last couple of years because he hasn't made any real moves at the trade deadline. Last year, prior to COVID hitting and us winding up in the bubble, he made a couple low-level moves, third and fourth line centers, nothing really huge. Nate Thompson, Derek Grant. But at the time, you didn't think they really needed much. But this offseason, after the season that we just had and the defensive lapse, the defensive lapses that the Flyers had. And I know, during the course of the season when we had Ice to Shorts and even on Green Legion Radio, you were talking about how bad Carter Hart was. And yeah, the stats aligned correctly, with how bad Carter really was last year. But if you looked at how the season progressed, eventually the defensive numbers and metrics caught up to Brian Elliott too. So it wasn't just like you're looking at it and you're just saying, man, Carter Hart was awful last year. Goaltending across all boards with that team was not good last year because of how the defense was structured. It was awful. It was pathetic. It was downright disastrous when you get lit up for 7 goals in like 3 consecutive games that were like nationally televised. It was bad. So Chuck knew he had to make moves, and you know, Flyers faithful, we weren't really sure if Chuck was going to follow through, and whether you're happy with him or whether you're not happy with him with the moves that he's made so far, he's doing exactly what you wanted him to do, and that was to make moves and shake up this roster, and I have no problems with it whatsoever with what he's done.
The Flyer, tell me if I'm wrong, weren't they the league leaders in shots against, which is more of a metric of the defense than the goaltending? I mean, yeah, you know, neither goaltender had a good year. You know, Carter Hart did not have a good year. It's not all on him. He's supposed to stop the shots. But when you're facing more shots than anybody else, you know, just the numbers are going to work it out here. So my only question before we go through here, like lots of defensemen they brought in, 3 new guys. They're all wily vets. I mean, with, you know, a decade here, 16 years, 7 years experience. Just playing devil's advocate, I don't know everything. You're our Flyers guy and know the league inside and out. Is this an overreaction? You know, I see a lot in the Twitter sphere. And listen, everyone's always complaining about everything. It's got to stay out of Twitter. I like to post our stuff and get out of there. But, you know, we're like, oh, all these defensemen, we need scoring. We need some scoring, which is like, right, everyone needs scoring. Yeah. Is this an overreaction to last season only? Is this, you know, is this truly what they need? Are they done? What do you think?
No, they're not done yet. This team still has a couple more moves that they have to make. If they have to sign the restricted free agents, Carter Hart, namely, you know, at the top of that list, Travis Sanheim, who's going to be on your second defensive pair. You know, they have a couple guys that they have to get taken care of as far as like locking up long term, which, you know, has nothing really to do for next season. But, you know, Sean Couturier is 28 years old and is sulky winner. You're not going to let Sean Couturier go anywhere after this upcoming season. Claude Giroux is in a contract year just as much as, you know, Couturier is. He's not as much of a priority at this point because, you know, I think Claude is going to be 34, 35 this season. I think the Flyers are primed to bring him back.
Hold on.
I think the Flyers are primed to bring him back, but they're going to bring him back at a much less of a cap hit. If you look at what Couturier is making right now, he's making about $4.5 million a year on cap hit. Couturier is due for an increase. He's due for a nice raise. He's going to get about $8.5 million, which is what Giroux is making right now. And that $4.5 million cap hit that Couturier is making right now, I think that's where Giroux is going to be going, probably on a 2 or 3 year deal after the season. So you can look at their salary cap hits. They're probably going to swap, which Claude Giroux at a $4 million cap hit for a few years, it's really not that bad in the grand scheme of things. But nonetheless, Chuck still has some moves to make. I look at it, to me, the defense was the biggest Achilles heel for this team that needed to be fixed going into next season. And I think Chuck has done a good job with that. Say what you will about it. I think like the one deal that I've really questioned, but we'll get to that, is the Risto deal with Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But we'll dive further into that. But the way he's balanced out these pairings, and I'll break them down as we go through the trades. It allows Cam York, who was the first pick of the draft for the Flyers a few years ago. He just came up. He played a little bit towards the end of last season, but I mean, he just came out of Michigan. He played a little bit in Lehigh Valley. He played a little bit here. This allows him to go down to Lehigh Valley to start the season next year and play, you know, one defensive pairing number one minutes there and kind of build himself up, not feel rushed to get into the NHL at this time. Because he's still on the young side and he's on an entry level deal. So I think having him start out Lehigh Valley next season is there's not any problems with that. Let him gain some legs and experience there. And when the time calls and you need that young buck to come up when an injury happens, Cam York is a pretty damn good guy to bring up from the minor leagues to plug in a hole wherever it is on whatever pairing you have.
So we got some comments here in the on our channel here, and I will say, Lonnie, I thought you were a the Secretary General of Diaz Nation. You will have to hear me tonight, unless you were referring to our good friend David Harris, who is a secret member of Diaz Nation. Real quick before we break down these guys, though, Zach, listen, we've got bigger issues than Claude Giroux, certainly. But his little spat there with Sam Carcitti, oh, my God. This guy, if we didn't have Carson Wentz and if we didn't have Ben Simmons, this guy, or Rhys Hoskins, this guy is so sensitive about everything.
I think it was more of a joke than anything.
I don't think he's always whining. He's the whiniest little whiner that ever whined.
No,
yeah,
Claude has a great rapport with the Philadelphia media for hockey coverage. So I'm sure that this was a little jab at Sam Girardi. I'm sure of that. There was nothing ill will in that post. It was just a little jab at a guy that he probably has a good relationship with over the years. There's nothing more to look into.
I don't know if Sam would have gone back the way he did, like defending himself or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Listen, everybody's been living through social media and Zoom over the last year and a half. So, maybe things are getting a little bit sensitive on that side, but I don't think it was malicious on Drew's side.
And our super intern Sam calling me a whiny whiner that ever whined. We'll see about you on Thursday. You're not showing up, and we have an empty inventory over there. We need you to show up early and be fully stocked, because I'm coming back this Thursday. It's going to be great. We're going to have a great Green Legion radio show. Anyway, let's break down each individual move. The first move, which was...
Yeah, I love how you go on vacation and you don't set us up with a bikini model.
You think I have... Actually, yes, that is all me. I do all the work.
Yeah, I just find it extremely funny that, the one show that you miss, we don't have a model in there at all. So I know it was your doing for sure.
Well, they see these videos and they're like, when is that Diaz guy coming back on? That's when they want to come on. But Sam's not going to be there on Thursday. All right. Well, she's going to be out of a job. Let's talk with it before the show. You said, and I forgot this one on the run sheet, of course, this Ryan Ellis pickup, in a not very process move, but for the Sixers process, a very process move, trading the second overall pick a couple years back, Nolan Patrick and Philip Myers, for this Ryan Ellis. For those that just watch the Flyers like me, I don't watch the rest of the league. Tell me a little about Ellis. It's disappointing. It sounds like with Simmons too. Nolan Patrick wanted out. It was time for a new move. Hopefully he can recollect himself and have a good career and get things back on track. But what we're bringing in here, Ryan Ellis, how does he fit within the current team? What do we think the difference that he'll make for next year?
All right, so Ellis is a good two-way defenseman. He can play on the power play. He can play on the penalty kill. If you've noticed one common thread so far amongst all the moves that Chuck Fletcher has made, they all have had previous experience as alternative captains during the course of their tenure. This kind of harkens and takes me back to when the Flyers had the worst record in the NHL back in 06-07, as they were trying to rebuild their team around Richards, Carter, Gagne. They made moves. They brought in a free agent like Danny Briere, previous captain. They traded for Kimmo Tiimonen, former captain. Brought in Scott Hartnell, former, wore the A in Nashville. Jason Smith, they brought him in, former captain in Edmonton. It was like you're trying to rebuild your leadership core.
Yeah, the leadership that they had in here, just terrible leadership. I mean, the captains that we have had here for the last 8 years have overseen the worst stretching of Flyers. I mean, the Sixers have had a better stretch run here than the Flyers, which has never happened in the history of the two teams. I mean, what can we do to get new leadership in here to get this team back on track and into contender status?
This is not a shot at my guy who wears the C. Okay, I think it's more about the guys that are around him in the leadership group within the locker room.
It's not the lead. It's not the top guy. It's
within the locker room. Well, the top guy is still here, and the top guy is still he's going to still be here. So the guys that they've brought in, like a Ryan Ellis, has had previous experience in a locker room. And when he came in and they made the trade for him, he said the expectation is to win. There is no other expectation. The expectation is to win. He's been there. He went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Predators. He came close to winning a Stanley Cup with the Predators. You know, I think they lost that in that series 5 or 6 games. But, you know, being in the Stanley Cup Finals over the last 5 years, that's not bad at all. So I look at him coming in here. He's going to nestle in very nicely right next to Ivan Provorov. Niskanen, you know, his presence last year was known. You could see it on the ice, you know, him not being around. And what the difference that he made in Ivan Provorov's career the year before and that run that the Flyers almost had to the Eastern Conference Finals when they lost in Game 7 to the Islanders, Niskanen's presence last year was very well missed, and they could not replace it. I think his retirement happened so soon that they weren't able to – I think all along, I think Chuck and the team and AV, I think they thought that Niskanen eventually was going to come out of retirement, and he didn't. But nonetheless – you know, Ryan Ellis is a 30-year-old defenseman. He's got 6 years left on his deal. You know, him coming in here, like I said, the expectations to win. He's had a little bit of injury history over the last few years, but, you know, nothing so bad. Last year was a hand injury, so he missed a little bit of time in the shortened season. But he'll be fine. He'll be strong. He'll be ready to roll. That top pairing of Provorov and Ellis, that's going to be a very formidable top pair next season for the Flyers.
That's good to hear. But I know that Provorov was how many partners did he, well, partners, whatever, how many pairings did he have last year? Seven?
Can I address Sean Henderson real quick? Okay. Sean Henderson doesn't listen to the rules on Bud Light Baseball Brunch that when you have a two-part answer for a trivia question, you have to put the same two answers on the same answer line. Okay, because Sam's not going to dive up and down, back and forth on the comment board. So before you want to try and put me in timeout, Mr. Henderson, next time why don't you listen to the rules more diligently so that way you can win the tickets instead of being the ever-loving schmuck that you are.
Wow, I agree. The first thing, Sean Henderson shouldn't be allowed out in public without his angel of a wife, Natalie. Second of all, Sean, you think Sam is going to put forth any modicum of effort in running these shows? Come on, she's not even showing up here on Thursday. She might be avoiding me because I don't think she was here last time I was in there. Let's go to the next move here. Now, this guy, you know, my good buddy Kev, still wearing the Ghost Bear shirt. The guy came in, 5 years ago. There was he's going to be this great, you know, offensive defenseman. But they traded Ghost, their first round pick. Ghost, a 2022 second and seventh for, you know, the player that we're all looking for that's going to help this team move forward, cap relief. I love the Twitter memes I saw with like a Flyers jersey and across the nameplate it just said cap relief. Is this just like, how much are they saving on Ghost? $4 million? I don't know. What was it?
Ghost is about a $5.5 million cap hit. So, listen, here's the thing. You could say what you want to say about, you know, the trade. And a lot of people were like, well, why do you have to give up a second round pick? Well, Chuck Fletcher, the Flyers general manager, said after the fact that there were people that he was trying to move Ghost's contract to that wanted the 13th overall pick in this year's draft. I mean, eventually he wound up moving it. They also wanted Cam York in order to take Gostisbehere off of our hands. And he was able to move next year's second round pick. There's nothing wrong with what he did. I mean, it sucks. I mean, you have to give up draft picks, but the Sixers had to do that, right? I mean, in order, they had a future first round pick to take Al Horford so they could get some relief in order for them to make, you know, a move and for them to get Seth Curry back in return. So Seth Curry was in the deal for Josh Richardson with Dallas, but nonetheless, you're looking at salary cap relief. That's how you have to achieve it. Last year, they placed them on waivers. Nobody picked them up. And this was the best available move in order for you to move him. It sucks for Ghost. It sucks for a lot of us because when he first came up, he was an offensive dynamo. He was unbelievable in the 2015-2016 season. It was like every single time you felt like you needed a big goal or an assist, and like the power play was on point that year. And he was
what year was that?
2015-2016.
Oh, they okay. So they did make the playoffs that year.
They made the playoffs that year.
Yeah, lost 4-1 Pittsburgh, I think, or something like that.
4-2.
4-2. Okay.
Yeah, 4-2. And they lost to the Capitals.
How about okay? Let's let me. We're getting a ton of questions here. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
Let's move on here. I mean, obviously, listen, they're up against the cap. A lot of these were to shed or at least reduce years on contracts. You know, they're focusing on defense, but there's salary implications in all of these moves, either shifting it up forward for just next year, and then they'll be free after that.
It's the world that you live in with a flat cap.
Let's on the 23rd, the Sixers, the Flyers, traded to Buffalo, Robert Haig, 13th overall pick, 2023 second round pick. For your boy, the defenseman, Ristolainen. Is that how I say it?
Dude, I'm not even sure yet.
Risto?
They just call him Risto. Ristolainen, that's what I think it's called, but I mean, I'm sure once we hear some broadcast about him. He was an eighth overall pick in the draft 8 years ago for Buffalo. He's 26 years old. He's entering a contract year. You know, losing Robert Haig is not that big of a deal. The first round pick, I was disappointed because I was looking forward to watching the draft the other night for our first round pick, just to see who we drafted. So that stunk. But you know, apparently if you draft somebody at 13 in the NHL draft, you have like a 1 in 9 chance of them playing 50 plus career games in the NHL. It's not that good. So you're taking a flyer on a guy. The one thing that I can say about Risto is he's not going to allow. Last year, it just felt like this team got pushed around too much and they didn't have a lot of muscle on it. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring the heat. He'll bring the alacrity on that end. So I'll give him the
alacrity. Pressure. Wow. Yeah. We're using SAT words.
Yeah, right.
Checking in your thesaurus or something. Look at you. Full pro on this.
He's going to fit in nicely with Travis Sanheim. I think the pairings, the way that they're falling, and we'll get to the last guy, you know, who signed the deal today. I think the pairings are lining up really nice. They have good balance between like a defensive defenseman and an offensive defenseman. Having him on that second pairing with Sanheim, because last year that pairing between Sanheim and Myers was soft. It was soft, man. They got tossed around. They got thrown around. Myers, especially for a guy his size, 6'5", he was just getting destroyed. Risto has a history against the Penguins and Sidney Crosby. So I look forward to those matches the most next year, more so now than ever. But he will throw his weight around and he will protect his teammates. And that's something that you have to take for a 26-year-old defenseman. Former first round pick of the draft.
Yeah, the only thing that we're, and I know stats don't mean everything, you know what I mean? I know that, but like you saw that he is rated in every possible, and hockey stats aren't perfect. No stat is perfect. What stats are supposed to do is supposed to be an indication. You take it, you look at it and interpret it as you will. It doesn't mean nothing. But it doesn't mean everything, but it does mean something. I mean, he was on a bad team.
You're talking about terrible the metrics. Team. You're talking about
the metrics. Like, yeah. Out of, you know, in the last.
His whole career.
Yeah, but in the last six years, there's bad teams. In the last 6 years, there was 68 defensemen that have played more than 1,000 games or some stat like that was the category. And he was 68. He wasn't higher than 65 out of 68 qualifying players in everything, which is like. It doesn't mean everything. It's just like, all right. I mean, Robert Haig, okay, whatever. And like you said, draft picks aren't, you know, it's always a crapshoot and, you know, whatever. You have a 50% chance that they play 50 games or whatever your stat was.
Here's the thing, Diaz, is like, you know, with the Flyers system, it's not that, the Flyers have one of the top minor league systems in all of hockey.
I don't want to hear that anymore. Instagram videos. I don't want to hear that.
I'm just saying they have one of the top systems in hockey when it comes to the minor leagues. So, you know, trading away the first round pick, like I said, it was disappointing. This was the one deal where I think most of us Flyers fans, we scratched our head on. We weren't exactly sure why we gave away so much for a guy that's going into a contract year. But I think the Flyers, maybe what they see out of him is he's been on a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 10 years. They're one of the worst franchises in hockey over the last decade. And you're taking a flyer to think that maybe him coming here, being a second line defenseman, playing in a defensive structure that AV likes to play, maybe that's going to bolster him and what he's been throughout the course of his career. That's all you can hope for. I mean, we've all questioned it. We're like, this is the one deal where we're like, it doesn't make much sense, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, we'll see. I'll see once the season starts.
You're taking a flyer, right? You're not expecting the world from him, but hey, it's a, we'll see what we got.
The rest of the moves that Chuck has made, I don't really have questions on them. I actually don't mind the moves that he's made outside of this one. So I'm willing to kind of like, let's play wait and see with it.
Let's go to the next one here. We're trading regular season hero, playoff underperformer Jake Voracek to Columbus for right winger Cam Atkinson. You know, we got some questions in the channel here about Cam Atkinson.
Yeah, I saw Sean Henderson's question in regards to that.
Like, yeah, what my
thought process is on Cam.
I'll give you mine. My completely uneducated Voracek. You know, thank you for your service. Yep, you know, top 10 in certain categories in France. Like, it's not getting it done with him. Something needs to change.
I agree.
Like, thank you very much. We love you. You know, you'll come back here and, you know, in period breaks in future years. But you know, it's time to switch it up.
I agree. Now, listen, Jake's going to get a loud standing ovation his first time back with Columbus when he comes back to the Wells Fargo Center. And it's well-deserved. I mean, he's top 5 all-time in Flyers and assists. He's top 10 all-time in Flyers and points scored. You know, he's been a very productive player, but it was time to move on. I think Jake knew that. The team knew that. The fans knew that. The guy, like, listen, we have enough guys that'll pass the puck. That'll get assists on this team. We need a guy that can score. And Cam Atkinson can score. I mean, you know, higher goal scoring percentage during the course of his career than Jake Voracek. You know, he's a smaller player, but he's a feisty player. Very intense. Used to wear the A in Columbus, as I stated earlier. You know, he endeared himself to the Philadelphia Flyers fans by wearing a gritty shirt at his press conference, his Zoom press conference when he was traded here. But
it was his wife's.
Yeah, it was his wife's shirt. Because
what was she doing with it?
Well, Scott Hartnell used to play for Columbus.
Oh, that's right.
So they played together. So Scott Hartnell sent them a shirt for her for Gritty. So it's pretty funny. Right. Yeah. But Cam Atkinson can score, and he's a great penalty killer. So he's going to improve that side of the Flyers, which the Flyers are one of the worst teams on the penalty kill last year. So it's only going to improve that end of the ice as well. I like the guy. Very high intense player, smaller player than Voracek. But, you know, if the guy can put the puck in the back of the net, you know, that's what you're looking for. And you need, like, you know, Travis Konecny need to bounce back. You know, Joel Farabee needs to continue to grow. You know, Kevin Hayes has to bounce back. But, you know, Kevin Hayes, Claude Giroux, these are guys that are going to pass the puck. You need guys on those lines that are going to put the puck in the back of the net.
Lastly, tell me about this. Oh, we got a check in here from someone, Robert Velavis, who says the real broadcast journalist is tuning in. I spelled journalist right and really capitalized it.
Yeah. Can you call someone a journalist when they can't spell? And yeah, they don't have any idea what punctuation is?
I don't know. Maybe someone took over the account. This one. Now, I don't know if this is a done deal. I mean, it's being talked about like it's a done deal as of a Tuesday night, the 27th at 6:30 p.m. Keith Yandel taking a flyer on him, 1 year minimum deal. It sounds like 900 grand.
Long time rumored to be a Flyer. Long time. I mean, we've been mentioned in trading for this guy for years with Florida. You know, so it's a good, like I said, it's a good depth move. He'll be on the third pairing with Justin Braun. So your pairings next season are going to be Provorov and Ryan Ellis. You're going to have Travis Sanheim and Risto. And then your third pairing will be Keith Yandel and Justin Braun. On each one of those lines, you have a guy that's more of a stay-at-home kind of guy. You know, that top pairing, you know, it's going to allow Provorov to push the puck. Actually, both of them can be stay-at-home and push the puck. So, like, that's going to be a great pairing, like how they're going to mix and match with each other, how they'll mesh well together. That second pairing, Ristol will be the stay-at-home guy. Sanheim will be the guy that will force the tempo, moving up ice. And then on that third pairing, Yandel has been a quarterback power play all throughout the years. His time in Phoenix, his time with New York, with the Rangers, being down in Florida. He has forced the tempo with offensive movement and passing the puck over the years. And then Braun will be that stay-at-home guy. And then down in the minors, you'll have Cam York that's available to come up anytime. They like the kid Zamula. He's another kid that they're going to like. And then Sam Morin, he just signed another one-year deal to stay with the team, whether it's going to be down in Lehigh Valley or if he's going to be, you know, like the seventh defenseman that they're going to bring with them on, you know, road trips and being at home. They're going to dress him, but then they're going to have him as a healthy scratch. Lonnie, real quick, am I excited for hockey season this year? Absolutely, because I can't wait to be back in an arena with 20,000 fans. You know, what you miss when it's gone, like this year, Diaz, like this year, we're going to be back at the Link with 70,000 fans. Right now, the Phillies have the capability of having sellout.
The capability.
We haven't done it yet, but we had the capability. I was at one of the Yankees games where there was 35, 37,000 fans there. But being at a Flyers game, I went to five or six of them where there was only like 3,500 fans in the stands. And it's fun. It's great to be back. But I love being amongst 20,000 fans and having a capacity crowd. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, Diaz, the defensemen are going to be it's vastly improved heading into next season. The defense, it's vastly improved.
Lonnie also made a comment here. Sack is making it sound good. Hope it works out. Of course, Sack is. He's our resident Flyers apologist. It's always sunny with the orange and black shaded glasses on.
I'm also a half season ticket holder, so I'm kind of like looking at everything with shades of gray right now. So I'm hoping everything is good to go.
You'll be there for only the win. So overall, solid moves, upgrades. It was time to switch it up. We don't know how these guys are, you know, all going to blend in together.
Correct.
There's a good history, some good background. Sound like there's some quality players. The Flyers are lacking leadership at the top. These guys will hopefully support it mental case Carter Hart feel a little bit more secure there in goal and have a bounce back season.
Are we now? Hold on. We're talking about mental cases. Like, so I guess we're going, that's a great segue for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get right into it. A couple questions here as we went were, is Ben Simmons still going to be a Sixer here on Thursday? And Lonnie wants to know what we think about, Ben Simmons and all this stuff. And that's exactly what everybody is talking about right now. Today, Tuesday, the rumor today was that the Toronto Raptors turned down a trade offer by the Sixers. Who knows if it's real or not, but the deal was a sign and trade with Lowry, Fred VanVleet.
Is this
OG Anunoby and the fourth overall pick? True? I mean, it hasn't been shot down like the Malcolm Brogdon and a first round pick was like shot down universally. It hasn't been as of today. I haven't seen it universally shot down. The numbers don't even work there. Like the Sixers wouldn't be able to take all that in, all that salary in with Lowry's new deal. And I think VanVleet and OG Anunoby are combined like $36 million plus the fourth round pick, which has a high,
Didn't VanVleet just sign an extension there?
Excuse me?
I thought VanVleet just signed an extension with Toronto to stay there. So why would they trade him to us? It doesn't make sense.
If they're looking to get rid of the salary, I don't know. There could be other moves involved. I mean, they're bringing in Ben Simmons. They're trading. They just could be doing a reset. I don't know. I mean,
who proposed this deal? Toronto to us?
Supposedly, we proposed it to them and they turned it down. So Toronto is one of these teams in the mix, and that's also because Kyle Lowry is on the move and there's interest in him from around the league. A lot of this stuff here, I got rumored teams interested in Ben Simmons, Washington, Toronto, Minnesota, Golden State, although that seems to be gone, Sacramento, Portland, like all these teams, Chicago. It just kind of means if there's a conversation between one side or the other, whether an agent leaked it, whether a team, this team or that team, it could be the Sixers saying, oh, we had a conversation with Ben Simmons. We had a conversation. Someone goes, hey, what's going on with Ben Simmons? Oh, we had a conversation with Chicago today. we don't have anything, you know, nothing's coming of that. So, and then all of a sudden, oh, Chicago's linked to Ben Simmons, and it's supposed to help drum up interest. The one thing I, you know, Lonnie asked about Lillard and his Ben Simmons. This is what I'll say about it. And here's my Sixers apology with our dear sweet prince, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons doesn't suck. Ben Simmons has a huge problem that he needs to get over. He's 24 years old. He's an all NBA performer, rookie, all the defensive player of the year, runner up. He's one of the best players in the league. He's got a big problem, and it's between his ears, right? And the Sixers have an MVP type candidate in Joel Embiid. Possibly the best two-way player in the league, possibly. I don't know. Kawhi Leonard have something to say about that. Giannis would have something to say about that. And they don't have time for Ben Simmons to wait to figure it out. It's not that the Sixers trading Ben Simmons needs to happen, not because Ben Simmons sucks or you're sick of watching him. It's because they need to make a championship push, and they can't rely on Ben Simmons right now. So the idea of, like, just getting rid of him, they're not just getting rid of him. Is not the idea is to switch him out for pieces that are going to get you closer to that championship contender status now, get you over the second round exits, get you closer to that championship. It's not just to get rid of him because we're mad at him. And I see a lot of this, just get rid of him, I don't care. Well, then they're going to be a worse team. The overall thing with Ben Simmons is he'll help you win a lot of regular season games. And it is proven now. His rookie year, he's a rookie. The second year, they bring in a ball dominant guy like Jimmy Butler, takes over. All right, doesn't really work out. Sixers believe in Ben Simmons. They let Jimmy Butler walk. Third year, he's injured. He doesn't play. So this year, it's like, okay, this is where, you know, he shows some progress. And it's probably the worst playoff performance he's ever had, including his rookie year. So we just don't have time for it. We don't have time for him to get better or work. We just don't have time. So they need to make a deal, but they don't have to make a deal. And when I say that, people get, if I said that and Hollis was in the room, I'd be going out the window right now because you know how Hollis gets when I say something like that. But they don't have to. They need to get closer to a championship contender, or more of a championship contender, not just on this paper stuff. They're not a bad team. They have the seventh best odds to win the championship next year, which means nothing. But what it does indicate is that they're still a pretty good team. And for me personally, if it's not Dame Lillard and it's not Bradley Beal, you know, this Toronto deal is okay. I mean, Ananobi and Van Vliet are good players. And the fourth overall, if they did that, I'd be like, okay. They'd have to send something else out too. I don't know. It'd be Danny Green and Thybulle or something.
Well, Danny Green's a free agent, right?
Yeah, but they have his rights. They can sign him and trade him. Same kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. That's kind of what they do.
Send them back to Toronto.
Yeah, you know, to make the deals work. And this is like an agent business. The players have all the, you know, more control than in any other league. So, you know, it's kind of like, I get it. And I'm frustrated that he has shown no improvement, especially when the regular season wasn't his problem. You know, we watch him every single game and every single minute, and we dissect it all. Around the league, though, people are like, I heard it all year this year. I listened to all these national pods from, you know, The Athletic and The Ringer and Sports Illustrated and Yahoo and Woj and Chris Ford and Chad Ford and all these. And they're like, these Philly fans, they don't get what they got in Ben Simmons. And it's like, no, we watch every little play, but what we got is this playoff wilting. And, you know, we're looking to get better here. We're not looking to trade Ben Simmons. We're looking to get better. And to do that, it looks like we're going to have to move on from Ben Simmons. So if we trade Ben Simmons for three first round picks or something like that, unless those are immediately turned around and sent to Washington or Portland, what does that get you? We're not looking to get younger. We need players now. And it's, you know, I've seen some comments, and I'm sorry I'm rambling here. I'm not really rambling. This is a stream of consciousness. I want to hear what you say. People like, you know, the Sixers think they're going to get an all-star level player out. Like, they're trading out an all-star level player. Now, I know you don't like that term. You don't like all-star players. You like winners, not all-stars. But that's a certain level. It's a certain measurement of talent, and they're looking for that type of talent in return. And if they don't get that level where they're going to get an offensive creator, perimeter creator, which is what we're looking for, sacrificing defense and perhaps some of the other skills that Ben Simmons offers, we're not doing it just because we don't like him or we're sick of him. Even we honestly feel that way. You know what I'm saying? So
I agree with you. All right. Daryl Morey is not going to make a move unless he, and yes, Diaz, I did say, I agree with you in this context.
Okay? Oh yeah. You guys, I don't know if you check your timelines. Shouldn't have done that on our private text chat.
One thing, you know, like in regards to us, you know, like, talking about show stuff, and I say I agree with Diaz, but you know, then it turns into I'm joining Diaz Nation. That will not happen, especially after our fallen vice president Alex Donahue. We will keep Zach Master Inc. alive forever in his memory. But nonetheless, I digress. When I look at what Daryl Morey has to do, okay, he has to do the right thing by the Sixers. Now, sometimes the right thing is addition by subtraction, okay? Because I don't know if Ben Simmons can come back into this locker room and look his teammates in the eye after the cowardice act that he just displayed in the postseason, where he refused to be an all-star level talent when the games mattered most. Correct or incorrect?
Absolutely.
So that right there, nothing what he does. Now, listen, no matter nothing that they do now, okay, in the regular season, moving forward will be nothing worth a damn to the fan base anymore. Yes, we are going to go to the games. We are going to be loud. We are going to cheer. We are going to boo. We are going to be all over this team because we're going to try and rise them to the next level, a level that they haven't been in 20 years, a level that they've only been to once in 36 years. This is something that this fan base no longer can tolerate. We cannot sit here anymore and tolerate this team being, you know, getting to the second round. It doesn't matter anymore. We need more. You, as a diehard Sixer fan, you, Diaz, you deserve more because of the crap that you've had to deal with, not just during the process, but prior to the process, building up towards this moment. Because this team right here is not destined to finish in the second round. They were supposed to do so much more. And if they would have gotten into the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks, it would have made things a hell of a lot interesting than what the Atlanta Hawks did. And then you get into the NBA Finals, if that's the case, and you can get through the Bucks. And I wasn't going to say that they were going to get through the Bucks, because all along, you know, like I would have been just as happy just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and losing in 6 or 7 to the Bucks or the Nets. Okay, and I'm not saying that with a loser's mentality. I'm just looking at it as far as progression is concerned, right? So every year we're getting to the second round, like the second round, then I don't even count the bubble, you know, like Embiid was unbelievable. It's just everything else fell apart. They had to fire the coach. Ben Simmons was hurt. You know, they wouldn't have beaten the Celtics last year, regardless, in the bubble.
No way.
But, yeah, they wouldn't have beaten them. But the expectations this year with the number one seed and knowing that you had a clear path to the Eastern Conference Finals without having to face the Bucks or the Nets, and you didn't take advantage of it. Morey, now, this is the most crucial offseason in the history of the Sixers in the longest time. I'm saying in the history of the Sixers, you would know better than I would, Diaz, but in order for this team to make the next to take the next step, this offseason is paramount, and Daryl Morey has to earn his paycheck.
That's right. I agree. Going all back to it here, though, addition by subtraction, I mean, listen, CJ McCollum isn't going to make him a better team. You take Ben Simmons off the team, and listen.
And I'm not saying no. I'm not about McCollum, but I think there's good choices out there. And I just don't
hear,
like the Cleveland option,
Colin Sexton and Larry Nance. No,
listen, I'm not. You would know better than me. The Sacramento option, if they throw in De'Aaron Fox.
I make that deal
9 out of 10 times.
But even then, De'Aaron Fox is like Simmons light with the 32% from three. Now it's like, well, at least he's shooting three pointers. But it's like he's not as good as Ben Simmons and all the other things, but he's willing to shoot, which is kind of like what our frustration is. So like emotionally, I understand it all, but it doesn't make them better with just Fox. They would add some other pieces around there as well.
Here's the thing, Diaz, about Simmons, okay? His defensive presence, awesome. That's fantastic. But when you're playing 4-on-5 offensively in the last five minutes of a basketball game, hold on, in the last 5 minutes, because he would dribble the ball to midcourt, and he would drop the ball off to Seth Curry or Joel Embiid at the top of the key, and those two would just sit there and go back and forth while Ben Simmons would run off to the corner and hide.
That's exactly
what he was doing.
We know this, but my point is, he's not trash. I see some comments here that he's a bricklayer. That's the problem. He is not a bricklayer. He doesn't lay anything. He hides in the corner in the playoffs. I 100% agree with everything you're saying, but to make the finals, to make the next step, you don't take in Colin Sexton, who, listen, might be a great player one day. He's 22. They just don't win when they're 22. We need a veteran all-star level talent. Now, if the best they're going to get is CJ McCollum is here it is, not as good of a shooter as Seth Curry, but what a lot of people kind of forget about Seth Curry, great, way better shooter. CJ McCollum is a better all-around offensive player, but defensively, like, people are like, listen, put Ben Simmons to a side right now. They lost that game because Kevin Huerter went for 28 points against Seth Curry. Now we're like, well, Seth Curry's Kevin Huerter. Kevin Herter's a bench player. He went for 28 points against them. He is a turnstile. So while
the problem
I don't
child.
Well, I don't the problem, or was it the good, was it the good son, no, or remember, problem remember child? Yeah.
The redhead.
Yeah.
What was it, Healy?
Yeah. So it's like, so this is the thing. And I'm not like, I agree. Ben Simmons has to go. It's time for him to go. It's going to be weird. I would love to be in that locker room if he came back, but it's kind of like most of the feeling is our emotional feelings of like, he just has to go because he sucks, which is not true. He doesn't suck. He's not going to help them win unless he figures this crap out. And here's the other thing. You know, who's a really bad shooter? Giannis. You know who's a bad free throw shooter? Giannis. You know who's not afraid of it? Right. You know who's not afraid of it? Is Giannis. And he won. And I think I saw in the finals, he was a 66% free throw shooter in the finals, but he went 17 for 19. He missed one in like the last minute. He was 16 for 17 at one point in the finals. So whatever, his 66% is probably sub 60, but you know what? They're counting off. He wasn't afraid. And That's really it. You don't have to be a good shooter. Giannis is not a good shooter. What's the defense on Giannis? Let him stay out in the perimeter and shoot threes and stuff because he's not good at it. And he's been a two-time MVP, and now he's a championship because he wasn't afraid to look foolish. He took his time on the free throw line and wasn't afraid to look foolish. Ben Simmons doesn't suck on offense. Ben Simmons isn't a bricklayer. He's afraid to look foolish. And listen, he's got to go. My big regret is that he didn't get it together and have the right people around him, whatever support, training, coaching, to tell him, listen, you got to step up your game. You got to get through this. And that's really all that he needs to hear. You just got to move forward. You got to go. You got to get through.
Ben?
Yeah, that's what he needs. That's what he needs. Because that's what he needs.
No, he doesn't. No. What he needs is a work ethic. What he needs is someone that's going to tell him that you suck at these things and be honest with him about what he sucks at. Because I guarantee you, someone's in Giannis's ear telling him that he sucks at these things, and that makes him work at it. Because that's the difference. Giannis hears the criticism and he goes, I'm going to improve upon it. When Ben hears the criticism, he wants to talk about all the other things.
Hold up for a second here. I'm seeing these same things. Guys, and even our buddy Greg, Sean. I said exactly, that's what I said. I think he knows what he sucks at. And I think his team around him tell him what he needs to work on in a constructive way, or however you want to dance.
Get him,
say,
Lonnie. Get him, Lonnie.
The problem is he, and he, guess what? He does work hard. Everyone says it. Everyone says it. Look, hold up for, let me finish. Listen, listen.
Works
hard. His coaches say he works hard. His teammates works hard. The problem isn't his physical working hard. It's a mental approach to the game in stressful situations. And he doesn't want to take, he doesn't want to be uncomfortable. Listen, I go to the games. He's all he does in warmups is shoot threes and free throws. That's all he does. That's all he does. Threes and free throws. In pressure situations, he doesn't want to be uncomfortable, and it's why he's weak. And all this stuff, he doesn't want to work hard. He does work hard. He works hard on the wrong things, and he doesn't apply it in stressful situations. And that's just the truth. So when people say he doesn't want to work, he doesn't want to do this, he does all those things. The play, Danny Green said it this year. In the past, other players that have been here, Tobias has said it. Embiid doesn't really say it that much, but, you know, I don't know how much Embiid practices. And the coaches have said it, and I don't. Maybe everyone's lying. JJ Redick said it. Players come, players go. They all say the same thing. So maybe they're all lying. They're all covering up for him. Everybody's lying to cover up for him. Totally possible. I think it's just he does do all this work, and it's between his ears, and he gets stressed in a pressure situation. We see it just today with Simone Biles. She's the greatest gymnast of all time. In pressure situation, she just had a block and came over it. Simmons is afraid, and I think Simone Biles will be fine, and she'll work through it. Ben Simmons is afraid to look weak and fail, and that's his main problem, because when he has to do something that he knows he's not going to be good at, he just would rather, like you said, hand the ball off and hide in the corner.
I would agree with you, Diaz, but he doesn't even do it in the non-stress situation.
Now, that's not true. He was going to the line. He was going to the line.
Stop
it. He was going. Listen, in the regular season, which I know means nothing, did he take three shots over the course of seven games in the fourth quarter? No, it's a pressure situation. The bright lights are on, and he doesn't want to look foolish. He doesn't want to.
A true stressful situation is dating a Kardashian, and he's done that. And he survived that. So, like, if you want to put yourself in the limelight and you want to be on, you know, the cover of this magazine, you want to be in this car with this girl. I'm not going to knock the man. I'm not going to knock the man. Yeah, listen, you can do whatever the hell you want off the court. But when it affects what happens on the court as far as a winning standpoint, that's when it bothers the hell out of you, me, and everybody else. But, yo, man, that girl, she bad.
This is really what I see it here. Greg Sullender in the comments. I'll just put this up here, but then I'll read it for the recording here. It hurts so bad because you see the greatness. You see it. He's not literally trash, but for his skill set and speed, size and speed, he's trash. He could be a top three MVP candidate for the next 5 years in a row. That's the ceiling of him, but his floor is high, but he's just not getting over that floor. He's an all-star level player who can't perform in those pressure situations, and it's not going to be here. He's going to have to do that somewhere else and resurrect his career. But he'll make more all-star games, and we'll say that he sucks. And it's just, let's be realistic with it. We need an offensive. We're willing to sacrifice the things that he's good at to find that right piece, because the centerpiece is Embiid, and he's 28 years old. He'll be 28 next year. He might only have 2, 3, 4. We could be wrong. I was thinking about this. What if we're all wrong about Embiid? We're all waiting for him to break down, and he gets injured every year. But, like, everyone gets injured every year now. All of them. Everyone's missing games. All the top players have missed games, except for our boy Jokic.
But you have to maximize this window.
That's right. This is his prime. Yep.
There's no crystal ball here, Diaz. Okay? Like, we don't know what the future's going to bring, because it's just like Houston. Houston had Yao Ming. And eventually, like, you had
Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, but no, that's my point, though. They didn't have them both right from when Yao was a rookie, but they knew that with his injury history that they had to try and capitalize on it. They made the move for Tracy McGrady. Did it work out as far as an NBA title? It didn't, but at least they made the effort. They took the chance.
Right.
And then, you know, it took them what, another 4 or 5 years for the window to reopen when they made the move for Harden. These are things that they can do. And this is why I trust Morey with it, because Morey has done this before. And I laugh when you have like the Burger King sitting there saying, oh, what moves has Daryl Morey ever made? Blah, 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 blah. Like, man, really? Really? Chris Paul, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. I mean, he brought us
Kyle Lowry. He got Kyle Lowry for free.
Holy hell. I mean, this guy has made so many moves. It's just incredible what he can do. And that's what we have to look at. Like, I trust this guy to make the appropriate moves, to make the right moves. The thing is, though, is like, I like, you know, in my opinion, my question for you, Diaz, just real quick, because I know we want to get off here in a couple minutes. I got to put the baby to bed. but I think you have your
sleep thing going on. We're in sleep training right now, guys. Last question before we go.
So if they do make the deal for Bradley Beal, now the draft is this week?
Yeah, it's Thursday night during our Green Legion radio show. Yeah.
So it might be, I'm hearing if he requests a trade, they're going to try and move him before the draft. So if Bradley Beal's brought in here, obviously, like, Bradley Beal's a 2-3. Is he a 2-3 hybrid between the two? Shooting guard, small forward?
He's a 2. He would be a 2.
So he would be a 2, so which means Seth Curry would be relegated to the bench.
And
he
probably in his place. Yeah, I mean, it matters that it's who do you guard on defense more, the positions in offense. Like, it's not
really as, matter.
It's, more, it's a little more fluid. Like, is LeBron a power forward? LeBron's more like a point guard, point forward. You know, it's you know.
So who runs the point?
Gonna have to get a point guard.
You got to get a veteran, or
you got to get a veteran. Like, listen, I love Maxey too, but to rely on him with championship aspirations, that's not a solid move. And it could work. It's kind of like these percentage. All these moves are percentage. The percentage of that working out, Maxey being the point guard on a championship level team in his second year, probably not something you want to rely on. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you would have to find something. I mean, the perfect fit is Lillard. I would give up everything for Lillard. I give up four first round picks, three pick swaps, Maxey, Thibault, Simmons, and figure out the rest, because that would be the perfect fit. He is the perfect fit.
But he has to demand a trade.
That's right. He would have to demand a trade. We'll see what happens. He's at the Olympics.
He's probably gonna be done with the Olympics in the next couple of days, because that U.S. men's basketball team, they suck.
It is bad news.
Les Bleus. They only scored 676 points against France. I know France is good. But,
well, yeah, they play 10-minute quarters. It's 20% less of the game, so 20% less of the points. But they're just out there shooting threes and missing it. Lillard, it's kind of like, well, what if you don't get Lillard? Beal's great too. But you would have to. So these are some of the things here when it's just like, I can't stand Simmons, just get rid of him. And it's like, well, hold up, you're right. He's not helping us he's not getting better himself, which in turn does not let the team get better in these playoff situations. But you are giving up qualities that you need to replace, and Lillard would be perfect. Beal, you still have some other things to do, which we trust Morey, to figure that stuff out. We'll see. I think he's still here on Thursday. We'll see. I could be completely wrong. I trust Morey to make the right move for the team, not the right move for Ben Simmons, and not the right move for the fans. I don't think he's definitely not thinking of fans and what we deserve and what we've been through. He's looking to get this team from a perennial second round and out to a championship, true championship contender. He wants a team that doesn't have the seventh best odds. He wants a team that has the second best odds. And that's what he's looking to do. He doesn't care about what our opinions are. And frankly, we're just fans. We don't know the ins and outs of this and the cap and the team and what all goes on in the background. And he's one of the best to do it. We're lucky we have him. I'm happy we have him and not Colangelo figuring this stuff out.
Real quick, I know a new friend of the program here, Greg Sullender. After Beal and Lillard, who would be plan C? Real quick before we roll.
I understand the locker room stuff.
C for you was Ben Simmons and bringing him back.
CJ McCollum and Robert Covington. Well, we have to find another point guard. I just don't see, and also obviously my value of Ben Simmons is a little higher. I agree that he needs to go and all that. I'm not trying to keep him. I don't want him to stay. I don't have time to turn him around. You know, I expect in 3 or 4 years, could be next year, could be 2 years, but more like 3 or 4 years, Simmons is what we all expected because he got out of here, figured it out, got slap in the face. But it's just, they're not going to be better. They're going to not have Ben Simmons for anything different. You know, they're not going to have Simmons, so we're all happy. Great, we don't have to watch that anymore. But then they're like, what if they're like the fifth seed? You know, and they have to play the Miami in four, and then they play, you know, the Bucks in round two, and we're mad that they didn't make it past round two. So addition by subtraction, I just don't believe it when we're talking about, you know, the second best player on the team. You know, I'm pissed at him too. I'm sick of it, but come on, you know, like I'm not looking to get rid of Ben Simmons because I don't like him anymore, and we can, you know, be on the road in the first round.
I was trying to give Greg a good answer because apparently he's a lifelong friend of Sean, and I felt sorry enough for him. Ooh, as it was.
Man, Greg, you got to make better friend decisions in your life. We can help you out. Come out to our next Bud Light Baseball Brunch tailgate
August 15th. And Quimby, Murph, and myself, we are working on getting a special guest to make an appearance. So make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com, sign up. We will have somebody there. Now, we are reaching for the stars on a few of them, but we do have some lower level guys that we're looking to come out. And whoever does come out, they'll be signing autographs. They will be taking pictures with the fans. They will be right there sitting there underneath the tents with Murph and myself. So we don't have the name just yet, but I know Murph is on top of it. I'm hoping to have an answer for you guys by this upcoming show, this upcoming Sunday, so that we can make the announcement and we can promote it for a couple weeks.
I will make an announcement, though. I will be there, and I will be signing autographs, and we'll be taking pictures. Lonnie, Walden, David, Sean, not Sean. Greg, you got to show up, man. We'll get you there.
Quimby just texted me. He said that they just canceled the event because nobody wants your autograph.
We'll see this on Thursday. Hey guys, thanks for hanging out here. Well, if we have a listen, we try and do this every other week during the season. We don't want to go game by game. If there's a big move this week, we'll be back next week to talk about a Simmons trade or a big Sixers move, and go from there. Before we close up, Sack, final thought.
I'm going to be on Heat Radio tonight with our buddy Jigsaw, Tony Cotello. So I will be on tonight for about a 15-20 minute spot. So make sure you guys check it out. I'll put it across my social boards. Diaz, I know you have it. If you want to promote that, I'll be on tonight's show. You can put out the link for Jigsaw show. And, you know, that way everybody knows I'm going to be talking Phillies tonight. A little bit of a change up from what we're doing right now. So leading into the trade deadline, I'll be talking Phillies with our boy Jigsaw. So make sure you guys check it out.
What time is that?
I'll be logged in with him from about 8:30 to 8:45, 8:50, somewhere in that time frame. I'll be doing a 15 to 20 minute spot with him.
Make sure you ask him what the 10 percenters are talking about. It might not make sense, but ask him about the 10 percenters. It's a long standing joke. Hey, okay. Guys, thanks to all our sponsors. We will be back, Green Legion Radio. We're going to be a little later this week, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, full show, minus Sam. She's been dragging.
But with Eagles insider Dave Spadaro on the show.
And Dave Spadaro has a lot of explaining to do. He's had a lot of life changes since he's last been on the show. We'll have to get into that.
And you know he's good. Always good for a beep.
Oh, yeah, two. Yeah. And watching Dave go versus Hollis is worth it. Thanks, you guys. We'll see you Thursday night. Go Birds!